Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Dual Screens Gamescast. This is a show that we debate and talk about all gaming news, and I am one of your hosts, Stephen Fontana, and with me, he's right over there. No, he's over there. He's Andy Esimakis. How are you, Andy?
Are you doing camera switching when you did it, when you said that?
Is that what
that
was? No, I just, it's mirrored, so.
Hello.
How's it going, bud? It's going, man. It's been a hell of a week as far as video games and like my personal little echo chamber, and then of course the world around it. But at the top of the show, before we get into the rigmarole, before we tell you everything, you know, what you're listening to and get into the news and all that fun stuff, obviously the world is hurting right now. This country is hurting right now, and we're two white dudes from various parts of New York City. We've witnessed many things in our lives, I'm sure. We're not blind to what's going on around us. We're always open to have conversations about what's happening. You know, our support, I'll let Andy speak for himself, but you know, I feel like our support here for the Black community is, it's real, it's raw. And we wish you nothing but, power and strength. Black lives do matter. We need them in our communities. We need them in this country. We need them on this planet. We need diversity. We need kindness. We need love. We need respect. And nothing that we all have, literally everything, if you look around you, every single thing in front of you, somebody has died for and fought for and died for at some point in history. And I feel like over the past 50, 60, 70 years, one community has been fighting that fight for way too long. It's time for us to start listening, make changes, be positive, not be reductive, be additive. And with that, I'll just kick it over to Andy for a few words, and then we'll get on the show.
I just feel like it's so unnecessary that it came to this again. Like, how many times must we live through this in our lifetime? And to think, like, to speak from, as a white man, like, I'm exhausted from this. And I'm not the one that's being oppressed. You know, it's, I find that it's lunacy.
Yeah.
It's lunacy. And it's just, I feel, if you were a racist, like, why? What's the payoff? Is this really worth it? I don't understand the end game.
So
to hate someone this way, I can't compute it in any way, shape, or form.
It honestly goes. It speaks to two things. It speaks to how tribal humans really are, but also it speaks to the difference between ignorance and stupidity, where. And this is something that like opened my eyes, that I opened my eyes to recently. Like, ignorance is not knowing better. Stupidity is choosing to not know better. And I feel like we're seeing a lot of stupid people. And
yeah,
like it, and this
droves,
is,
I feel,
and this is even like before. This is even before this. This is like with COVID. Like, you're choosing actively to ignore science. That's not ignorant. That's you're not ignorant. You're stupid. You are actively doing that. And I feel like when it comes to racism, there's another edit. There's another section to that. And it's when you are, choosing to not engage in those, not to believe that, you know, Black Lives Matter, or not to believe that, or to choose racism. And I think that's like a new word that I haven't discovered yet. I feel like reducing it to something like good versus evil is just, while it's probably the best words, I feel like there's something more than that. I feel like there's.
I think that feels too broad in a sense.
Right. But either way, there are various charities, and I will be doing a stream myself on twitch.tv/batchild soon. I kind of wanted to give the Black voices their time to do their streams, to, you know, to do whatever they want, you know, want to do. And I feel like just jumping on it and doing this at the same time that every other person I know that streams is all doing it at the same time. We're all kind of stepping on each other. So I kind of want to let it breathe a little bit, but I'm going to do something myself, and I would like to do something with Andy and maybe get some of our previous black guests on the show, or, you know, just get everybody together, just get them to say a few words or whatever. We're going to work something out. But right now, remember, Andy and I live in New York City. We lost a ridiculous, an exorbitant amount of people to COVID, and now we have protests and riots and, you know, just awful shit happening in various neighborhoods. Queens has kind of escaped most of that, but like downtown Brooklyn has been a hellscape now. It's getting better. Like as much as the media is still kind of going with that cycle of look how awful this is, and it is, there have been some really nice bright spots in the last 2 days where it's like maybe we're getting somewhere, things are starting, like it's not even like it's dispersing, because that's not happening, but it's calmer. It's it's more level-headed than it was in the beginning, and that's just because the opportunists have to go home.
They were only thrown in jail and riot for a finite amount of time.
They were either the bad actors were either captured and are paying for whatever crimes they committed.
Or, you know, hit and run jobs. You know, you get in first, get out, then you don't go back again a second time.
Right. But one of the other things, like people say, how can you condone rioting or whatever? I'm a white guy that's never had a reason to riot. So I'm not going to tell somebody they can't riot. I know destruction of property sucks. I know that. I know that if it was happening to me, I'd be like, that sucks. But I can't sit here and say, like, not that way, you, because I never felt that kind of
pain. Not that way, you.
I've never felt that pain in my life. So I feel like I'm not an authority to speak on that.
I just love how some of the usual groups of people that come out during this stuff that say, well, if this happened to, let's say, it was a black cop and a white person, there wouldn't be this much of outrage. And that sickens me. You have no idea, because I feel, there's been cases like that. So why haven't you protested then? Like, if you're about change, then make a point. Protest. It's in our,
that's our DNA. You have the right to do so. That's literally how this country was started. So one more thing, and then we'll move on. It's kind of a smart ass comment, but I feel like it needs to be said.
Oh, I love it already.
The Second Amendment zealots talking about how they want their guns to fight a tyrannical government stormed.
Oh my God.
Stormed a Capitol because they couldn't get a haircut. And now the literal government is literally doing terror in the streets and shooting civilians in the eyes with rubber bullets and tear gas, which they say isn't tear gas, but it's a gas that makes you cry and hard to breathe. But anyway, keep fighting for your gun rights. But whatever.
That could be a whole topic for the podcast. I feel this wouldn't be a game show anymore.
Right. Sorry, I'm clacking on the keyboard. I'm just trying to answer some very important stuff.
It's very sensitive.
Very time sensitive thing just now, but it's over. I'm done. All right, so let's get into video games. So the Dual Screens Gamescast, thank you for listening. And if you're still here, thank you very much. If you don't want to support us because of what we said, honestly, I don't give a shit. Go do what you want to do. Good riddance. All right, so this is a show where Andy and I go over the top video game news. Now, what we used to do here, and this is where the revamping is, what we used to do is we used to pick four stories, one for the top three, Sony, Nintendo, and Microsoft, and then a wild card, and then we would choose winners and losers. I felt like that was kind of reductive. While it was fun, it wasn't necessarily informative. It didn't always lead to great conversations. And there was a lot of news that Andy and I would just kind of just barrel through. And it doesn't make for a really good conversation. So now what Andy and I are doing is each of us are bringing four topics to the table from all of video games. And we're just going to discuss them in depth. And the reason why we're each choosing four is because they are something that we looked up and we are interested in. So therefore, we read the stories, we did some research, and we want to have an open dialogue about it. So there will be maybe we could fit winners and losers back in there after we see how this format goes. But right now, we're kind of just going to stick with this and see how it goes. But before we get into that, let's tell you about our other shows. We have the Dual Screens Gamescast, which you're watching right now live on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams, and it posts as a podcast on Monday mornings on your podcast service of choice, including Podbean, our host, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts. And if you're listening on my Apple Podcast, please consider giving us a review because it helps the show out tremendously. Tremendously is the truth. You got that cursor on your face again, Andy. I got to fix that.
Yeah, I don't want that there. Rid of it.
helps show out tremendously. We also do the Dual Screens Podcast, which is an interview show where we interview a bunch of indie devs, voice actors, and all that fun stuff so that they can tell us their story about their latest project, about their careers, and all of that great it's a great show, and that posts each and every Thursday for your listening pleasure on the same channel. You don't have to subscribe anywhere else. It's all on the same network. Everything also posts on YouTube as a little video, as a video version of the show. And every other Friday, we have a show called Dual Screens Versus, which is one of our seasonal content. And throughout the year, the seasonal content will change. But again, all of that is on the same channel. If you want to support us with your hard-earned cash, you could do so by going to patreon.com/NDS podcast, just like our Patreon producer, Colton the Apprentice Nestler. We cannot continue to grow without all of your support. So please, please, if you have a dollar and you want to support the little podcast that could, we would help. It would help us out tremendously. And if you want to subscribe to us on Twitch, please do so at Twitch using your Amazon Prime, Twitch Prime. It's a free subscription. You can do it very easily. All right. Andy, why don't you tell our listeners and viewers who we had on this week's show? Because it was an awesome show.
Oh, God. We had Joe Walsh from Mediatonic Games talking about Fall Guys. Holy hell.
Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout.
Yes. That was a great show. And I think one of the great games to come out in summertime, hopefully soon.
I cannot wait for that show. For those of you who don't know, like it's a maximum elimination style challenge game mixed with a battle royale, where I think it's like 150. I don't know.
I think it's 100 max. I think it's 160 max. Something around there.
But you,
it was something all right.
Yeah, it's amazing, and you play these mini games, and it starts eliminating the field until you get one winner, which is it's hilarious. So yeah, check out that show. It went up on Thursday. It was a great, great episode. Do you know who we have for this week yet, Andy?
We have multiple contenders. No one's confirmed yet.
Okay. All right. Perfect.
So we'll find out hopefully before Thursday.
All right. So before we get into, the Dual Screens report, before we get into the rest of the show, it is time for everybody's favorite future t-shirt. And that is the Adventures in Gaming. Gaming, 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 gaming. Andy.
Oh, only 6 this week. It's usually 7 or 8.
Sorry. Andy, what have you been playing, handsome?
So I played the Mortal Kombat 11 story DLC Aftermath.
Oh, cool.
And I played it straight through, about 2 hours to finish it. Very meaty for a story DLC add-on. And I'm going to applaud NetherRealm Studios on this story DLC, because they really showed some cojones and some balls in this, because for the first time ever in their story mode history, you get to play as the bad guys.
Interesting.
And that was one of my complaints for the longest time, because when you play any story mode that they offer, they always make the villains look weak, because you're always playing as the good guy. Like,
yeah,
you have,
and they always make them like have like 6 or 7 really dumb ones, or like not right. Maybe not that many, but like you have like your henchman level bad guys. You're like, no, you're supposed to be a badass fighter. Like,
right,
what's happening here?
Because they reduce them to like jobbers, like just these like lame ass like reptile is a badass character, but he's always like, is the weakest of the bunch. He's like the first or second fight in a Mortal Kombat game. Like, no, he's worth more than this.
Yeah,
but exactly. This game, and of course the highlight is Shang Tsung. Oh my God. With what's his face? Corey something, I forget his last name.
Corey Feldman?
No, from the first MK movie. I forget his full name. But that actor, like, he is the star of the show. And it gives the story a nice good wrap up. It kind of leaves all the questions at the end of 11 like fully answered. And honestly,
I don't even know how you can. I don't know how you can answer those questions, because the literal questions were, anything's possible. What now?
Right. So this. so the basic premise is Liu Kang and Raiden. Well, now it's fucking Fire God Liu Kang.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. Spoilers. They're going to reshape history at the end of 11. And Shang Tsung, Fujin, and Nightwolf are like, stop. You're going to fuck up shit because you don't have Kronika's crown. So send us back in time to get it. And that's the starting off point.
Got it.
And let me tell you, shit gets insane at the end. And I loved every second of it.
I love the story mode, but I didn't play the game much after that, so I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm more of a story mode guy. When friends come, I'll play the I'll pummel them into submission.
Sure. Sure. So that's it. You playing anything else?
That's really it. That was the focus. And then again, some more I've been playing some PS2 games. Mega Man X Command Mission, which is a Mega Man X RPG game. Yes, it existed at some point.
I know that one. Yeah. So I actually been playing a lot of games. I played a lot of games. First of all, I have the new PC, and now I have PC games on it.
Lovely.
A lot of PC games that I haven't gotten to a majority of. But so I played Civ 6. Mm-hmm. I already own that, but you know
it. Oh yeah, free, you mentioned whatever. That last time,
right? I'm playing more, and now I started a new game because I started to get like my bearings, and now I'm having a really good match. I'm playing as the Greeks actually. I got some like Spartan warriors or some shit. I don't know.
I hope we do you proud.
Something like that. but yeah, I'm having a blast with that. But in between that, yes, I'm still playing Animal Crossing. That's a given. I actually played that on stream today over at twitch.tv/batchild, another cheap plug, with my kids, which was a lot of fun, getting them to see like what I did and like, oh, is that daddy that you're wearing your Mets hat? Like, it's pretty cool. We were looking around for one of the villagers that lost the book. That was fun. I also started playing a game that is embargoed, so I can't give impressions, but I am playing a game called Summer in Mara, which we saw a couple months ago at one of those like video reveals or whatever. If you just going based off of the trailer, it is gorgeous anime cutscenes, just beautifully hand drawn. They got that studio Ghibli whatever vibe. Mm-hmm. It's kind of just like your adventure sim type building game, resource gathering and stuff. I'll have a first play and hopefully a full review and video review when that comes out on the 15th. So look for that for my impressions. What else? I played Conglomerate 451 finally.
Oh, how is that?
I was finally able to like get into it and actually play it. I played it for a bit on stream a couple nights ago. I think it might have been Friday. I really like it. Like, it is a NES Dungeons and Dragons style RPG with a ton of management between missions. Like, the missions are really bite-sized. It's it's quick. You go in, it's like, hey, kill these six guys, or find this target and kill him, or, you know, find this item. And you go in, you know, the environments are kind of boring. Like, you go to the same one over and over again, but whatever. But you go in and you it's like you're stepping, taking one step at a time, going through hallways, turning, you know, your 90 degree turns. And then you get into a conflict. The RPG battling is very layered. It's very nice. But the cool thing is, all of your fighters are clones. And as you are getting, resources, you can make more clones, and you unlock more skill trees and stuff like that. So like, you're really customizing your team. I named somebody Kirsch. We have Mikey Kirsch in there. We have Mr. Nuff in there. We have Buzz in there. So far, they're three of my male clones. But I like it. It was a lot of fun. I had a good time with it. I downloaded a ton more games. So next week, I'm going to be playing a lot more. I also jumped back into Left 4 Dead 2.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Because I wanted to try mouse and keyboard, weird. And that's not a good game for it. Because you can't aim down sight except with the sniper rifle, so that was kind of pointless. I only played it for like 20 minutes. Play that. But I've also been playing a game called Apex Legends.
Oh, God. Here we go.
It is time for a minute of Apex.
It better be a minute. Go ahead.
Starting now. Man, this season, we are getting dubs. But for the first time ever, folks, getting dubs in Apex Legends means something to you. Why does it mean something to you, Andy? Why do you think it means something?
I don't know. This game means nothing to me at all, so you have to expound on that.
Every dub I get on stream, we give away a free game. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. When you are in my stream and you witness me winning a game, I am giving you a free game. That's it. You just go in there, you press raffle, and I give away a game. Somebody's going to win a free game. And that has been the driving force. You know how many dubs we got? How many games do you think we gave away the first night I did this, Andy?
12.
Five. Five whole games. Andy, five whole games. And I'm telling you right now, we're getting better. We're getting better. We're shooting better. The game is getting better. But the competition is getting worse because we are just that much better. And that has been a minute of Apex.
Great job. That was actually a minute.
Yes, it was. It was exactly a minute. All right, so let's get into the indie news update. I will. You know what? You start us off, Andy. I've been talking a little
bit.
Yeah,
it's pretty simple. One of our previous guests on the DS podcast, My Beautiful Paper Smile, enters early access on just the best date to release a game, June 19th.
June 19th. Now, how does a game like that go into early access? I feel like that's like, I don't know.
We could find out once we get our copies and play on a stream, maybe. I feel that's in your future, I feel, playing that game on a stream.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely will.
Yeah. I feel if it's a horror game, right up your alley.
Hell yeah. So there was a game, Steam Dolls. I don't know if you heard of this game. Steam Dolls Order of Chaos. It's a Metroidvania. It's a steampunk Metroidvania game. It was just funded in, like, milliseconds on Kickstarter to come to Switch. So I think this was right up your alley. That's why I threw it in there. From Nintendo Everything. Steam Dolls is a steampunk inspired Metroidvania game with a grimy touch of brutality. Blast your way to your objective or stick to the shadows and perform violent assassinations on unsuspecting guards as you struggle with the haunting apparitions of a mesmerizing witch trying to reveal the truth about a conspiracy that could shake the very foundation of the world.
This looks good. And it's also got David Hayter as the main character doing
correct.
The voice.
Yep. Here's some of the features here.
Alrighty.
2D brutal, fast-paced Metroidvania in a steampunk universe, obviously. Gruesome stealth kills. A vast city to explore. David Hayter, Solid Snake, is the voice of The Whisper. Hand-drawn cutscenes for the narrative parts. That's a weird sentence.
Yeah.
You could have just left it at cutscenes. We get with
right. Cutscenes.
Cutscenes are for narrative. So go check that out if you'd like. I will drop these two links in the chat for our family that are watching right now. All right. So now it is time to get into the newly revamped Dual Screens report. And Andy, what story do you want to talk about today?
So I feel like this story isn't getting enough attention. And I'm not sure why, because the implications are pretty massive. And I don't want to be too hyperbolic in this segment, but
okay.
I think it's kind of a big deal.
Okay.
So a recent interview with VG247, Epic Games Vice President Nick Penwarden, had this to say with regards to the PS5. The PS5 provides a huge leap in both computing and graphics performance. But its storage architecture is also truly special. The ability to stream in content at extreme speeds enables developers to create denser and more detailed environments, changing how we think about streaming content. It's so impactful, and here's the best part, that we've rewritten our core IO subsystems for Unreal Engine with the PS5 in mind. Now, take a moment to digest that statement. We have Epic saying that they had to go back and rewrite code for their new engine to accommodate the PS5's SSD. That is a huge deal.
Yeah.
It was too fast for their engine, they also revealed recently. And I think it's a big deal because you have someone with no skin in the game, I feel. Like, Epic makes a third-party engine. They're not about, you know, stroking Sony's knob there.
It's actually not it's not a good idea for them to play favorites at all.
Yeah, they shouldn't pick a side in this race.
Yeah.
But again, this goes to show what we've been seeing on the show for a long time, that the PS5's greatest cheerleaders are these outside developers. They're just speaking volumes of it. And the SSD, I feel, is getting... People are underestimating it.
Right.
And they shouldn't. This is a huge deal.
So there was... And I'm going to forget names. I wasn't really paying attention, but... There was a video that I actually put in our Discord.
Was it Linus?
Yes, Linus. Exactly, so he had this whole apology video about how he had said Tim Sweeney was wrong. Like, he basically called him out, was like, you're wrong. These products exist. The PCs are always going to be better. They're always going to be faster.
Right,
He like clarified. So he went back and he realized he was wrong, because it's not about speed. And Tim Sweeney never said speed. He said the amount and the streamlined nature of it lets you do more. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily faster, but more and more efficiently. So, like, essentially, my understanding is, instead of where the player is looking and rendering all of that and then sending information to say, well, the player could look right, he could look left, so we need to also get all of that data in there separately. And then you may not even look right ever, so it never loads those textures, it never like pops those textures and those assets, but they're still in the memory of the system, which then bogs down the next thing that you do look at. Right. Mm-hmm. So essentially what the PS5 fixed, or what they are claiming to have fixed, is the means of getting information from source code to players' eyes, meaning that they can now load in everything around in real time, as opposed to anticipating moves and what a player is going to do and then putting that in some different fragments all over the place. Instead, they can have this information be asked for, pulled, and dropped in the environment instantly. So that's cool. And obviously that's only available, that's an architecture that can only happen on solid state drives, because of how the data is written linearly, as opposed to a disk where all the data can be pulled from all different parts. So that's pretty cool. The fact that Unreal came out and was like, no, we rewrote Unreal 5 to take advantage of this because it's not available elsewhere. Like, we want to take advantage of this. Now, one of the things I actually wonder about is how long before there's copycats? Like, how long before this architecture, this thing, like, is it a Sony patent that can't be duplicated elsewhere? Is it something that's going to be mimicked in some way? Obviously, Series X is not going to have this. Otherwise, the developers would have been talking about it. And obviously, because the developers have said there's nothing like this on PC, we know that that's not being toyed with, at least from a development
standpoint. A totally custom-made hard drive.
Right. It's not the hard drive.
Yeah.
It's not the hard drive. Like, that's one thing that you have to understand, is that you could, they are theoretically trying to get any solid state drive to work with this thing. It is the custom chip that the hard drive speaks to.
This, and also the IO through port as well.
Right. The IO through port is part of that chip and sending that information. That's hopefully, and obviously, so the fact that Unreal rewrote their engine makes me believe that the narrative of, well, only Sony first party games are going to take advantage of that.
No, I don't think so.
I don't believe that.
I don't buy that for
if
a minute.
If Unreal makes it so that you could flip a switch and take care of that situation because it's built into their engine, then I feel like any game that's made with Unreal from the get-go is going to be able to take advantage of this. That's just my opinion. I don't know for sure. I don't know. Obviously, you're going to develop for the lowest common denominator if you're going on multiple platforms.
Right.
But, you know, I feel like if you're a developer, this solves a lot of problems for you. So I would be shocked if more developers don't take care of that, you know?
I think that the PS5 is going to have a huge impact on the industry and how developers create games. I think it's going to really empower them to do things that they could never do before.
Mm.
And it makes you wonder why Microsoft doubled down on raw power when, looking at the Xbox One X, power isn't, it didn't shift the market for them in any way. Like, having the most powerful something wasn't an asset to them. And yet they went all in with that concept with their next home console. Whereas Sony is trying to change how developers create their content for the better. I like how we have a really different take on what the next gen should look like. Because we all think it's going to be just prettier graphics, you know, more resolution, more FPS. But now we have something that offers even more than that.
So I want to touch on a comment from Buzz, because you know he's going to come in here.
Sure.
He says, we'll see what the difference actually is, though, for playing games. Regular people aren't going to give a shit if it's .000546 of a second faster. It is, again, not about speed. It's about the amount of data they can streamline. So it's like when a room pops up and you turn and you get that weird texture pop, that's gone on PS5. Because all of that is already popped. Everything is already in. The whole room is already in. And despite what your fanboy brain wants to believe, the other PC and the new Xbox are not going to be doing that. They're going to try to do it by just pounding more information in. But
there's
going to
be a bottleneck eventually.
There's
at
a
some
bottleneck
point.
Of information yeah. that will not be able to get through from file, from data, from raw data to your eyeballs. It's just not going to happen. It's not about a loading screen loading faster. That's not what it is.
Right.
It's about when you're playing in real time on current gen consoles and PCs, it is only loading what you see in front of you. That's how video games are made. You're only loading what's in front of you. And then when you turn, it's loading all of that, or it's preloading it and then trying to get it to you as you're doing it. That's why you get things like texture pop in, because it's trying to anticipate where you're going to look, but it doesn't know. If you don't have to anticipate that because it doesn't matter, you could just shove all of that information in. That's where you get things like Spider-Man swinging through the city seamlessly and the entire city is there. You don't have to wait for something in the horizon to pop in or something like that.
And just to add one last thing, I want to say, unless I hear a developer tell me it's not a big deal, then I'll believe it. Coming
right.
from, listen, Buzz, no offense, we're not developers, us or you, and all the Twitter eggs out there saying trying to downplay the SSD. Most developers who have talked about this subject have all agreed in unison that this is a big deal. So stop downplaying
and our,
it.
And our most recent guest even said it. Like,
right.
When we were talking specifically about Spider-Man,
so,
he felt that the swinging in Spider-Man 2 was better than Spider-Man PS4 because it was faster.
Right.
And that is because it was loading much less, you know, resolution textures and stuff like that. But he said if what they're saying they could do with PS5 is possible, then Spider-Man mm-hmm. will be faster because everything is loaded, everything's in there, everything is in your sandbox to play. So we'll see. But let's move on. I'll give you my little story here. So this is EA has decided that they were going to stop being little jerkasses.
Oh, yeah, of their own accord, right?
Right, yeah, of their own accord. This is totally a decision
yeah.
they made.
On their own?
Don't think anybody forced their hand on this one.
No pressure at all, right?
Right. So EA extends the free Madden Xbox Series X upgrade window. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen with PS5, PS4, PS5, because they haven't announced that yet, but I assume in the coming weeks we'll know more about that. But EA has extended the availability of its free Xbox Series X upgrade for this year's Madden game and presumably FIFA 21. And this is coming from Eurogamer.net. In early May, Microsoft confirmed that it would support its free Xbox Series upgrade scheme, but then said that they would restrict upgrades to a limited window. You'd need to buy the Xbox One version by the end of the year and then upgrade by the end of March. Otherwise, you don't get it for free. And now it looks like they have switched that. Let me see if they're... I don't think they actually say the dates that they're extending it to, but it looks like they're going to have more dates announced soon. So, but they're going to change that, which would be nice. It should just be the end of the year. It should be the whole year. I don't see why they wouldn't do that, but what are your thoughts?
I feel I have less respect for EA in this scenario because something told you... You made this choice knowing that there was going to be backlash. You must have known this. Knowing what smart delivery is and how it's supposed to work, and you chose your own weird version of it, yet you still made that decision. And now you can't even stand by it. I just feel, come on, just like, you made this decision. Just own up to it, keep it, and move on. Do better next time. Because what was the point of it all? Just have it right the first time.
Personally, I think that because we know EA, we know what they are, I don't think this had anything to do with the outcry of the people.
Uh-huh.
I think this was 1,000,000% Microsoft.
True.
And maybe behind the scenes, Sony with PlayStation. I think that Microsoft was like, yeah, but... That's not how this works. Like,
yeah.
Everyone's getting in line.
Don't
like,
do that.
All the big players are getting in line. Hey, look, we have Activision signed up to, and I don't know this, but I'm saying like they could have brought to the table. Activision signed up, you know, Rockstar, 2K is doing it. Like all your competitors are doing it, and they're going to make you look really stupid.
Of all things to be an outlier on, this is the hood they're going to die on.
Of course they are, because it's their only franchises. It's the only thing that matters. FIFA and Madden. For EA are like the
thing
that matters
to them.
Those
games are going to sell. They sell regardless every year after year with minimal updates.
I know, which is why they don't want to give you free upgrades. They want you to pay for it. It's as simple as that. They want you to buy EA Access.
God.
And they want you to sign up for EA Access, and they want you to buy their games. They don't want to give anything away.
You know what?
Why would they?
I think it's time for a reckoning for EA. And also, there's a reckoning coming. Look at that segue.
Ooh, hit me with it.
I love a good segue. So an old game, an old gem that should have sold a lot more than it did. Kingdoms of Amalur is making a comeback. It is getting a remaster. And this came to us courtesy of the Xbox Store.
Yep.
They've been doing that a lot lately. They leaked the Mafia trilogy before 2K.
Yep.
And then now this. Which, and it has the most, I feel, unfortunate rebranding. It's called the Re-Reckoning.
The Re-Reckoning.
Oh, God. It's.
The Re-Reckoning.
Why?
The Re-Reckoning.
So, you know, those who don't know the story, this is now a franchise owned by THQ.
THQ Nordic.
Yes, a lot of us wondered if we'd see this franchise come up after it was acquired.
When they purchased it.
Or scooped up, rather, by
THQ Nordic.
When
they purchased it, there were a lot of people wondering, did they just get the IP for future games? Do they get that game only? Like, what's the story here?
So, yeah, it was the rights for the franchise. So it was for this game and for this. There was also, at the time, an unreleased MMO in the works. Mm-hmm. So they got all those rights. And now we're seeing the fruits of that acquisition. We're getting a remaster, as it were. And I'm excited about this because this game was high fantasy. It was a really good RPG. And I'm sad it didn't sell that well. It didn't have a huge impact or really broke out
at the time. This was the game that got like Kurt Schilling sued.
Right.
Was made based
on the
game.
Didn't he sell off some like bloody baseball sock?
Essentially,
to,
yeah.
Like to raise money.
He put a bunch of his own money into it, but also they took grants from, I think it was, I want to say Baltimore or mm-hmm. like, I want to say it was something like in that area, in the Maryland area.
Rhode Island. Yeah.
Was it? Yeah, it might have been Rhode Island. Yeah.
They couldn't pay back whatever grants, loan, whatever it was.
There was some nefarious shit going on. I don't know if it was them paying back. I think it was they misled. I don't know. There was some nefarious thing, and basically they had to. The studio that made the game crumbled because of it, because of the mismanagement, which sucks because they made a really good product. Like almost everyone that I know that played that game thinks it's a top RPG of that mm-hmm. of that generation.
Great
like,
storytelling too.
They talk about that like I talk about The Witcher 3 like that. Mm-hmm. It was like that. So this could be a real good one.
Mm-hmm. I'm excited.
Should be good. So yeah, THQ Nordic's gonna be publishing that. Speaking of publishing.
Oh boy.
Segue.
Oh boy.
Konami.
Oh yes. I saw this.
Konami is eyeing more Western titles after publishing Skell Attack.
Yeah, this came out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
I was shocked.
This is coming from PlayStationLifestyle.net. Konami's recent stealth release of Skell Attack surprised us a little, but it looks like we'll get used to seeing the company's name attached to more Western titles going forward. In an interview with Games Industry, Konami's European business development manager, Richard Jones, has revealed that Skell Attack kickstarted a new company initiative to publish more Western-style developed titles. Like other Japanese giants, Konami wants to diversify its portfolio, or how about just add to it at all, because there's nothing in there. It's butterflies.
Besides Pachinko.
It's... That's what's in there. To appeal to a wider audience. Jones said, the drive is towards publishing more titles from Western studios. So the focus for the European team is domestic audiences. Obviously, everyone knows Konami. We have... What Konami used to be, I guess. We have studios and teams in Japan. We have many well-known and well-loved IPs that we do nothing with. I added that part. They're all being managed and looked after by our studios in Japan. And what we're looking for is complementary titles. To build the portfolio with things that perhaps are new to Konami, Western titles for Western audiences. This is very reminiscent to what Square Enix did, I want to say, 7 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
Ish? 8 years ago? Whenever it was when they took over Crystal Dynamics.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Like, that was very much like, hey, Western audiences are not buying our games anymore. Like, something's not working. Let's get a foot in the Western audience, in Western development, and see what we can learn. And mm-hmm. I think Square, you know, it's been a really tough transition for them. Like, their RPGs, which were beloved for many years, went through really, really, really tumultuous times development because of this. And I do believe it was because of this. It was because they tried to make them too Western too quick and didn't know what that meant. But yeah, I think it's always great when a big publishing arm or one of the classic publishing arms from Japan, from the birth of video games to mainstream video games, to then come to Western audiences where, you know, millions and millions and millions of people are playing games, I think is a really smart move.
Right. And I feel like, to your point earlier, Konami shouldn't try to westernize their existing IP. Like, this move is really nice about it. It's like it's getting some new ideas and new talent. It won't be like here, Western dev, take Contra or Silent Hill and do something with it. And you totally strip the IP of what it's known for.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no risk in tarnishing like a Metal Gear franchise right. or a Silent Hill this route, but I think they should further expand on this and do what Square is doing, like take your beloved IPs and make them in-house and watch them sell like crazy. Like, you have Metal Gear, Castlevania, Contra. You've made these games before and you made them great. Talent exists in Japan, I guarantee you. I'm not bullshitting you, Konami. You can make games. and we'll buy them if they're fucking good.
It just might take 10 years.
Right. Just don't microtransaction us to death. Don't pachinko us. Like, it'll take time, but, you know, all good things. Give me a good game. This game looked kind of cute, though. This Skeletech
was cool, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's kind of neat. Alrighty. Speaking about games we love and games you want to play, we got a rumor.
Rumor alert.
All right. So, there's a rumor from an unestablished YouTuber. So, off the bat, this is 100% confirmed and true. That we're getting a Bloodborne remaster for PS5 and PC. Now, we could go into the depth here of where this rumor came from, if it's legitimate, how legitimate is it?
The more you click, the less legitimate it gets.
Right. It was linked on Twitter by a few notable users like Wario64, for example, which lends to credibility. But I think I want to move away from that and just discuss this as if it were true.
Okay.
Because I think if this is true, it makes a lot of sense. Bloodborne was released 5-ish years ago on PS4. Great game. Found an audience of, I want to say, maybe...
It was 2014. Yeah, I think it was right. The same year as...
So we're pushing 6 years, more or less. Yeah. We're pushing 6 years for Bloodborne on PS4. An early title in the life cycle. Sold about, I want to say, under 4 million copies, which isn't bad for a single game on for a new IP on PS4 back in its time. So that game has made its sales. It's found its audience. Mm-hmm. It squeezed every penny out of that it can possibly do. So to, one, re-release it on PS5 with better graphics and better frames per second makes sense. It can be like The Last of Us. PS3 came, did its sales, came in and went, great. Release it again to a new audience. Mm-hmm. And it still sold well.
Yeah.
And this also applies in the PC realm, a lot like Horizon Zero Dawn. That game also sold its copies, and its lifespan was over. I mean, I'm sure it sells the occasional copy every now and then, just like Bloodborne, Bloodborne was actually, I believe, free on the PSN Plus 1 month, so that's like we've sold it as much as we can. We pushed it, so now it's for free, and now the PC port. So again, that makes sense because you're finding ways to sell your old titles to a new audience without cannibalizing the initial sales of it, and that's the key difference between releasing day one on PC and the console. Like what Microsoft does, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So, if this is true, I think it just it really shows you how Sony can leverage its IPs in the best way. There's a huge market for the Souls fans out there. I think that franchise sold about 20 million units worldwide across all games. A very thirsty crowd, and to get Bloodborne, a game that has eluded that crowd for a long time on PC. On that platform is going to sell a fuck ton. And it could be a good springboard to a potential Bloodborne too, which I think that's where this could lead to.
That has to be being made right now. Like I can't imagine that Sony would allow Bloodborne right. 2 to not happen.
Right.
And that's really what I took away from this more so, is that if this is true, then Bloodborne 2 is definitely a thing. But you know, we've actually spoken about this on the show before, but like I'm in the camp of Sony putting these games on, or all these games going to PC as well as PS4 kind of, or whatever, PlayStation, kind of goes against their argument of like, here's our exclusives or what sell our console.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously if they're setting a precedent that it's 3 or more years to wait, it's a little different, I guess.
Yeah, that's the key difference.
But I don't know if that's going to be the most lucrative option for them.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if this could snowball and lead to more close to release type thing for them. But again, if PlayStation 5 is so vastly different than PCs, they may not want their games to perform worse somewhere else. They may not want worse versions of their games to be
at least initially. Yeah.
Yeah. They may not want that. They may want to say, mm-hmm. no, this is a work of art and we don't want you to have to gimp it down just so that the, you know, Excel spreadsheet crowd can play it.
Well, you know, look at the case of FF7. Like, we all knew that was a timed game. We're not sure where it's going after that first year is up with the PS4. But that game's already sold, you know, I would say at this point, over 4 million copies worldwide on the PS4. So that works for them in a sense, because they know that the loyal fan base will support. If it's the right IP, that's the key there. Bloodborne has the entire Dark Souls fan base behind it. So to starve them for 5 years,
right,
and then you do a PC launch, that's going to sell. And then it'll get them thirsty for a Bloodborne 2, because now you know what you've missed. Can you stand to wait 5 more years to play it? Maybe. And also lumped into this was there was a Demon Souls that's also been in the talks for a while now, a Demon Souls remake by Bluepoint Games. It's now being rumored as a PS5 timed exclusive. Which I could see that. I mean, this is again, it's an IP owned by Sony, so it's all in their court to release it on PC if they wanted to.
Yeah.
But I would say it's the same scenario. We'll have it on our system for, and again, Demon's was only a game only on PS3, not on a PC. So have it on PS5 for about a year or two, maybe 3 years, and then put it on the PC to again get those extra sales from that audience.
And they're going to need those sales, Andy, because they got to pay some money.
Oh, yeah. They could just sell a copy. Just announce Spider-Man 2. That'll, you know, that's fine. That's all you got to do for any of your legal fees. But take it away, Steven.
GamesIndustry.biz is reporting that PlayStation was fined $2.4 million for misleading Australian customers over refunds. Sony Europe Support Center told players they could not be refunded for a game that was downloaded after a game was downloaded or 14 days had passed. So for those of you who don't know, like Sony, PlayStation has a policy where you can pre-purchase a game, but as long as the game has not downloaded to your system, so it's not the day of launch or whatever, and you haven't played it, even if you haven't played it, you've downloaded it. Once you download it, you can't get a refund digitally. If you pre-purchase it and then you decide you want to cancel that pre-purchase, you can get a refund.
Up to 14 days.
Up to 14 days. So it's whatever comes, I guess, first. I don't even know how that works. But this is highly illegal in Australia. So essentially, they have their own laws in Australia which prevent companies from doing this with digital goods. In a statement, the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission said the platform holder made, quote, false and misleading representations on its website and in dealings with Australian consumers about the Australian consumer law rights. The case centered around 4 consumers who contacted Sony Europe about purchased games they believed to have been faulty, meaning the games were broken. Mm-hmm. Sony Europe operates the PlayStation Support Center that serves Australia, among other territories. It is also responsible for the PlayStation Network Terms of Service that Australian customers must agree to. The 4 users were told Sony Europe is not required to refund the game after it has been downloaded or if more than 14 days had passed since purchase. One customer had told was told a refund could not be provided unless the game's developer authorized it.
ludicrous.
While a fifth customer was told a refund could only be provided as PlayStation Store credit.
Sir, just please call a bounty dog for your refund. The federal
court, yeah, right. The federal court declared these to be breaches of Australian consumer law, as ACCC Chair Rod Sims explained in the organization's statement. Quote, consumers can obtain a repair, replacement, or refund directly for products within a major fault from sellers and cannot simply be sent to a product developer, he wrote. Refunds under the consumer guarantees must also be given in cash or money transfer if the consumer originally paid in one of those ways, unless the consumer chooses to receive store credit. So they got to pay up, they broke the law, and the law won. They fought the law, and the law won.
Law won.
Yeah. No, if you're going to be an international company, no international law. No, the law of the country you're selling shit in.
Yeah, that's how that shit should work.
You know where that wouldn't happen, Andy?
Tell me where.
China. Because everybody fucking knows the laws in China because they want that sweet goddamn money, don't they?
I just don't understand because it's not like I played the game for 6 months and 800 hours in saying, you know what, I want a refund and then I'm going to court over it. It's people who bought a game, maybe downloaded it, didn't like it or whatever it may be and just said, hey, you know what, I'm not playing this game, I'm returning it. It's a digital license. Just revoke the license, give my money back. What's right. I don't get what's hard to understand about that transaction. It's not a physical good. I didn't go to a store, buy it, play with it. You know, now it's depreciated in value because it's off the shelf now.
Right.
So I don't understand the argument. Just don't be a douchehole and just be better at customer service.
Yeah, it really just it baffles the mind. Like it's such a simple fix.
Yeah, it is.
But it's also, like, this fix is simple in two ways here, Andy. One way, know the fucking law.
Right.
You can't do that, you shitbag, so don't do it. Second part, this is easily avoidable. We could also just give them their money back.
Right.
And revoke the license for the thing we sold them.
Which, to you, it's pennies to what you make bottom line.
Who are they protecting in that?
You're fighting over a most, what, $60?
First, not even that, but like if a developer put out a broken thing, wouldn't you want to take that back and be like,
right,
nay, sir, we're definitely not doing this.
It's like, that buyer beware. And also, I would love to be that guy that was just told to call the developer for like permission. Like, sorry, sir, you gotta listen. You got to call Guerrilla Games because we're not going to help you. Reach out to Capcom, Square Enix, because we know do customer service here.
Right. Right. All right, Andy, hit us up. Is this your final story now?
Computer says no. Yes, this is my final story. And it's one that I think will spark some interesting dialogue between us.
All right.
So... the Xbox Series X is confirmed to launch in Japan the same time as it will everywhere else across the globe. To which Phil Spencer added that he wants to do, quote, a much better job, unquote, mm-hmm. with that region. And I wonder, what does that look like? How does Microsoft... do a much better job in Japan? Because if we turn back the Wayback Machine a little bit, let's go back 3 years. Phil said that there was, again, quote, a lot of interest in, at the time, it was called the Xbox Scorpio. Yet, numbers don't lie, Steven. The Xbox One has sold lifetime. I'm sorry, that'd be embarrassing.
That would be real embarrassing.
Yeah. A sales report from 2018 had the Xbox moving only about 15,000 units in Japan for the year. And I'm sure it's already gone down since 2018. It accounts for 0.3% of the global sales.
Ooh.
In that region. So it really makes me wonder what is the best strategy to get any kind of foothold aside from buying Nintendo and calling it the Xbox Switch and saying, hey, Xbox is selling great in Japan. What should their tactic be? Because I feel Japan doesn't care about Xbox. In any way. I mean, I've been to Japan a number of times in my life. I've seen what an Xbox shelf looks like in an electronics store. It is a sad, sorry state of affairs. It's like two shelves in a corner somewhere that you can't even see. It's like, you know, where the dirty magazines are in the shop. Yeah. It's like the curtain.
It's got that little hospital curtain.
Right. So what would it take for the Japanese to actually want to purchase an Xbox? Or should that be the focus? Should Microsoft realize that the sum of its parts is more than the whole, and just maybe push like xCloud or Game Pass in Japan and have that be what their focus is, not try to sell an actual console in Japan? What do you think?
I think the Japanese market is very unique in the games that they go nuts over and how they play games. They don't seem to be like, I never see super competitive Japanese teams in things like Overwatch or Apex or Call of Duty or any of the MOBAs. Like, you don't, like, I see Korea, obviously,
right?
Europe, America, South American countries, like stuff like that. That's where I see all of that coming from. So, like, I feel like if you're going to market to Japanese audiences, you have to market Japanese games. You can't just market your system as super powerful, because they don't give a shit. Most of them play on their cell phone.
Right.
Cell phones are the number one gaming device in Japan and in China and technically in
and
the
again,
world.
And again, we have, look at the Switch sales. The Switch sales overtook the PS4 sales eventually. Now they far surpassed it, because, and it's, you know, it's a quote unquote weaker system that doesn't, the graphics aren't the priority in that console.
No, and if it's the also and, if the Xbox is the also and, it's never going to sell, because they have PlayStation. They don't need the also and. They don't need two that do the same thing. They have their Nintendo and they have their PlayStation. They don't need an American console that's going to do the same thing and have worse, but less games. Like, they're not going to do that.
Here's a key factor too. A lot of people don't realize this, but like, a lot of multi-platform games aren't multi-platform in Japan. Like, for example, Red Dead Redemption 2. There's no Xbox version of that in Japan. Or Monster Hunter.
Right. They don't. Right.
That's also not an Xbox.
Because why would you pay that licensing fee? Why would you pay to have Xbox discs pressed when you're going to sell like 30?
So I feel Microsoft can snatch up some additional studios if that's the route they want to take, and, you know, acquire a Japanese company, like with the Sega rumors about for, you know, forever, which came to pass to nothing. Right. Oh, was that our news bit? We can cover that. The fucking Game Gear. We'll discuss later. That happened too at some point this week.
Yes, we'll discuss
the
that.
The Game Gear Micro. But again, even if you purchase, let's say, a Sega, you're still going to miss out on all those other third-party multi-platform games that aren't going to be on the Xbox in Japan.
Right.
So how do they solve that issue? And I think that's the one thing that they're missing. It's not just about having a Japanese company in your corner. It's not going to be enough.
Yeah, Blue Dragon really worked out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Scalebound! It's going to sell all the Xboxes.
All right, so this one, I think it's a good one to end on, because this is going to be a very good conversation.
Sure. Yeah, I'm ready.
Holy shit, man.
Before the Game Gear Micro.
Bobby Kotick.
Oh, yes.
Activision Blizzard. Okay. Oh, I'm just going to read this article. This is coming from PlayStation Lifestyle. That's where I picked it up. I'm sure GamesIndustry.biz has a much more in-depth article, but
beforehand, I'd like to apologize to EA, because there are scummier ones than you out there. Take it away, Steven.
Activision Blizzard investors have spoken out against Chief Executive Officer Bobby Kotick's $30 million pay and have urged shareholders to vote against his compensation package. As reported by Bloomberg, the executive director of CTW Investment Group accused Activision Blizzard of finding, quote, multiple ways to unnecessarily enrich Kotick, even when he didn't meet his performance targets. His pay first came under heavy scrutiny when Activision Blizzard laid off 800 staff members in 2019, but continued to award the CEO a lavish compensation. CTW's Dieter Watzenegger also pointed out that Activision Blizzard's Blizzard employees typically earn less than 1/3 of 1% of the CEO's earnings, with some employees, such as junior developers, making less than $40,000 a year while living in high-cost areas such as Southern California and Northern California, for that matter. Despite repeated low approval votes from shareholders, Activision Blizzard maintains multiple overlapping opportunities for its CEO to earn outsized equity awards. Over the past 4 years, Activision Blizzard CEO Robert Kotick has received over $20 million in combined stock option equity per year. Per year! So that's $80 million. These equity grants have consistently been larger than the total pay, the sum of base salary, annual bonuses, and equity pay of CEO peers at similar companies. What does he know?
I feel he has some real dirt on people. You remember that scene from Dogma when Matt Damon and Ben Affleck went to the board of what was that company?
I don't remember.
Like, it was like a cow.
I have a feeling Mr. Nuff would know.
Right. I forget the cow's name, but they knew all of the sins for the entire board, like what they all had done. Right. I feel like Bobby knows all the dirt. I feel like he knows that some of the board members or someone must have killed someone, or there's kiddie porn. He knows about it.
There's something. There's something going on. but this goes to show you that the industry in general, I think, needs to change as far as, like, obviously they're not the worst offenders of this, but
oh no, of course not by a stretch, yeah.
But for a $1 trillion industry, the most, you know, the most lucrative industry in the world, some change needs to happen. Like there's always been paid discrepancy, and I'm one to say, you know, I'll say it right here. If I started a company and I was responsible for taking that company and making it super, super successful, mm-hmm. I would love to get paid $20 million a year. I would love that. I'm
sure you feel entitled to that pay because, you know, you built it up yourself. I would feel entitled to it.
Yeah. But the other thing is, and this is where unchecked capitalism, or at least unguided capitalism,
mm-hmm.
is inherently a problematic system, is that you can do that and get making those margins wider and wider and wider in the favor of your stockholders and your business, is always, always at the expense of your workers down below. Always.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, I don't know the perfect way to fix this, but, you know, maybe there has to be unions in video games would fix this. Period. End of discussion.
Do you know? You know what's a good solution here, Steven? How about if you don't reach your goals, don't get the bonus? This is, the report says,
yeah,
he did not reach certain goals. So why do you feel you should get that much money?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be reductive and reduce it down to just that sentence, hey, yes, absolutely.
I didn't reach the goals.
But how much money would he have gotten if he did reach the goals?
I don't know. Exactly, I don't know.
How many more people would he have to have laid off to make that money to, you know, for the stockholders? Like, I feel like just the fact that you have to pay people as little as possible and get the most product out of them in order to make stockholders rich.
Right. That's just how you have to do it. Here's where I'm confused by this, because you can give up a little bit of that to those who make your company work, who keep the lights on, essentially. Like, you're still rich at the end of the day.
Right.
Those below you are not. Giving them a little bit more to keep your company profitable and successful and to keep you rich and richer, you know, it's have a gesture. Do I deserve $30 million? I'm worth way more than that. And I'm sure your shareholders are as well.
We have been watching A Christmas Carol for like 70 years. It's the oldest story about Christmas shit. It's been like, and I said watching, it's been a book for way fucking longer than that.
What did we learn since then? How do I avoid rich, but not, how do I, oh, I think the moral is go start in real, so I'm fine.
Yeah, exactly. ghosts are bullshit. So
ghosts
fine.
Are bullshit. Give me the money. Give me the money.
Holy shit,
Oh, Steven. Okay. This is a super late addition to the show because I said it during the Microsoft bit. Talking about greed.
Hit me.
Did you see the Game Gear Micro details? Did you read the whole thing?
No, I thought, honestly, I'm not even fucking joking with you.
Okay,
thought that was a joke.
This is going to be.
I didn't know that was a real
thing.
This is
going to be a completely first reaction from me when I give you the details.
Okay.
So I saw it. Game Gear Micro was announced as part of Sega's 60th anniversary. Hooray!
60?
60 years, yes.
All right, sure.
In the business. Come a long way. And, you know, it looked cute. It's fucking tiny. I think it's smaller than a Game Boy Micro, to be honest. And no joke, it sounds like it's a fucking Babylon Bee or Onion article headline. It has a magnifying glass that you can get as well as an add-on. So you can actually see the screen that you're playing on. So again, I get it. It's tiny. It's a gimmick. It's $50. All right. Not that expensive. I liked Game Gear. I had it growing up. I'm a huge fan of the games on the Game Gear. But then I read the details. So there are four models. There's black, blue, yellow, and red. Each one has its own set of games.
Oh, fuck off.
Hold on. Guess how many games are in each one?
Six.
Four.
Wow.
There are four games in each colored version.
Wow.
What? Now, this, I think, redeems the PS1 Mini as the worst mini console.
Did they owe
there's
Sony
a new contender.
did they lose a bet? What happened here?
Wait, let's go through the game. So the Game Gear Mini Black has Sonic the Hedgehog, Puyo Puyo 2, Outrun, and Royal Stone. I'm sure only one of those games you care about. The blue variant has Sonic Chaos, Gunstar Heroes, Sylvan Tail, and Baku Baku Animal. The blue sounds better because it's got the Gunstar and the Sonic Chaos.
Blue is number one so far.
Yellow has Shining Force, Gaiden, Ensei, Jashin no Kunehe, Shining Force, the Sword of Haya, Shining Force Gaiden Final Conflict.
So it's the Shining Force.
So there's three Shining Force games and a game called Nozopuyo Aroyu no Yu.
So that's
I'm not sure if that's a Shining Force game.
Did they make them for different regions?
Well, I think this is only in Japan for the time being. They announced it for.
Okay.
And then
what's the last one?
Red one has Revelations the Demon Slayer, Megami Tensei Gaiden Last Bible Special, the GG Shinobi, and Columns. It has a 1.15-inch display. There's a single mono speaker and a headphone jack. But it's got a USB charger. But it can also run off two AAA batteries, not six like in the old days. This thing takes batteries.
I'm trying to comprehend what that screen looks like. That screen can't be bigger than this roll of tape.
You can purchase all four for $250.
Well, that doesn't fucking make sense.
With the big window magnifying glass accessory.
The magnifying glass is $50?
It is separate, yes.
What the fuck?
Sega, what are you doing, bro? Who thought this was a good idea to do it this way? Now, I will say this, though. Once this is released, this will get hacked to shit, and you'll play every Game Gear game you could play on your little Game Gear Micro. And for the first time ever, I'm going to encourage piracy and hacking on this podcast, because this is a case where greed is not good, and this is a huge ripoff. $50 for four games, and it's like this tiny little thing, like the size of a chicken nugget.
It's a fucking Tamagotchi, Andy. It's a Tamagotchi that plays Game Gear games, and very, very few of them.
Oh my god. This is...
Wow. And that was their big announcement, right? That was like the thing that people were like, oh, Microsoft's buying them. And
right. Or the Sega Series X in Japan. No, it was this. It was the fucking Game Gear Micro.
Good. God almighty. Hey, here's something you didn't know about.
Yeah, tell me.
It's the Hype Zone.
Oh, boy.
You remember the Mario Brothers Super Show, don't you?
Well, it's one of the best shows ever to be released in the world.
Definitely.
And all of our time in history on this planet.
John Grusd, a producer who worked at Deke Entertainment back in the day, recently told Polygon a little tidbit about Captain Lou Albano, Andy.
Mm. Yes.
Okay. And
what a tidbit it was.
Indeed. He said that Captain Lou Albano was the right guy for the job, in which he explained, I keep going back to what a really nice guy he was, and he was just a fish out of water. He wasn't an actor, but he was a personality. And here's the kicker. He actually offered to legally change his name to Mario.
What would that do?
I think what he was doing, he's a genius, first of all, because that's what wrestlers are. Wrestlers are, they live their personalities. Right. If he could get to be the face of Mario for the rest of his life, he would be set forever. Forever. Instead, he died a very lonely man.
Right.
Owing a lot of money.
Known as Captain Lou Albano.
Captain Lou Albano. Correct.
And at Mario.
For
the best, maybe, I feel.
I've met him a few times. He is actually a pretty good guy. He was a pretty nice guy. But there are other items in the Hype Zone here.
Right. And there's also one major news piece we should discuss before we wrap up for the day.
That sounds good.
It's something that I wanted to just give its own slice and just kind of get our thoughts.
Okay.
Because it kind of goes hand in hand with our show's intro. And that was Sony postponing their PS5 event for the week. A lot of noise on the internet about this cancellation or delay, rather. Sony, I think, made a smart move, and you can see it was actually echoed with other companies. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I think it was CD Projekt Red. Did they delay an event of some kind?
There were a few.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they were one of them, but there were definitely a few.
Right. So, due to the civil unrest and George Floyd's just horrific murder, Sony said, you know what, it'll be nice to celebrate, but we can't take the platform away at this point. We have to let other voices be heard right now, and we can wait. And the pushback I saw was really something. I saw a lot of, well, you know, between COVID and now George Floyd, we could use some good news. Yes and no.
I get the sentiment.
I get it. It's like saying, hey, I know the world's going to shit. Well, like my neighbor, for example, they just had a baby. Like, I want to say maybe a week ago. And I saw her for the first time. Beautiful child. What a time to be born, though. So, yes, I understand that we're going through some things right now as a nation and, you know, globally as well.
Yeah.
But I think the sentiment of letting others speak and not to take away from those voices is more important than, quote unquote, good news or happy news.
Right. And I also think that there was also a smart business sense because
they
would have been drowned out.
Yes.
By
looking at social media and marketing and just having a hashtag going, it's not going to go anywhere.
Right. And there's a huge community of your audience that are not going to be paying attention.
Right.
At all. So that would actually be a detriment to the message or whatever. But and who knows, maybe that was the driving factor, was like, hey, if we do this now, it's going to get lost.
It could have been. Yeah.
And it could have very well been the issue. But the fact that like multiple gaming companies like went out did their support and show their support. You know, Activision put a actual splash on the loading screen of Call of Duty and like and stuff like that. Like,
Didn't also Rockstar turn their servers off for 2 hours? I think in memoriam of George Floyd.
I didn't know about that. But they did that, I mean, that's great too. I mean, it's the issue is bigger than gaming.
Yes.
The issue is bigger than TV. The issue is bigger than music. The issue is bigger than everything that you could possibly conceive in your life as a consumer. It's bigger than that. And we need the biggest voices, the loudest voices in our in every ecosystem, in every echo chamber. Like that. That's what's important here is that, you know, gamers want to escape the real world. That's why they game. And there are really shitty things that happen in the world, like war, like viruses, like
disease,
you know, famine and like all these
oppression. Know. Yeah.
Right. But when
I think just to go ahead. Yeah. No, I was gonna say it's not the time to ignore reality.
Exactly. Reality needs center stage right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad I'm disappointed that I didn't get to see what I wanted to see from Sony.
Sure. It's not gonna go anywhere.
But I am mature enough to know that that's really not important.
Right. Folks, we're getting the PS5. It's gonna happen. Sony wants it to sell.
Those douchebags that think that Sony didn't have something to sell and they just looked at this as another excuse to not.
Steven, I saw on ESPN, which is a shocker that's coming out of my voice, ESPN. I saw commercials for the event the day they canceled it. That this was a very last minute, like, shit, things are getting real.
Yeah.
We shouldn't do this now. But they're ready to go. They had purchased airtime for this.
Yeah. It was going to be a thing. And now it's going to be a thing maybe next week.
Right. So. Yeah, I think there was rumors of the 12th as a possible date they're floating around. But we'll see. But people, it's happening. We're getting the PS5 this holiday. Sony will hype it up. We're getting Last of Us 2, like in what, 2 weeks? Less than that, even. Good things are coming. Just wait a little bit longer. I mean, we lost E3 for Christ's sake this year to COVID. So we're going to get our shit. Don't worry about it. Don't worry.
Not this now, too. You jerk, Sony. Oh, fuck off.
Yeah.
Sony didn't have their knee on somebody's neck. Like,
I'm never going to buy it. I'm going to burn my PS4 now because you didn't have a 1 hour
just thing go on to an TV. EA loading screen. It'll burn itself.
Right.
Today was supposed to be E3, by the way.
That's. Oh, man.
RIP.
Can you get a moment of silence for E3 at this point in time?
No.
Is that appropriate? No, because I don't care what you. E3.
All right.
E3 deserves to die as far as I'm concerned.
Let's get to the listener mail, viewer mail. We do have a little bit of it's not a question, it's just a little message here. This is from Door to Door Geek, our friends.
Oh. Hey, Door to Door.
And he says, "The only constant in the universe over all time is change. Embrace it or die hating it." And that was in regards to our format change. Which we love to hear what you guys think about that in the chat or in the comments section. If you're watching on YouTube, let us know what you think and send us a message. I don't think we got anything else in the mailbag, so that's good. So we're gonna open it to the chat, and while we open to the chat and see what they want to ask and talk about, we want to go over the things that you should know about us. If you want to follow us on Twitter, you could do so. We are at NDS Podcast. I am at Batchild27. Andy is at PantsGuy. And our Facebook group is facebook.com/groups/DS Podcasts. And if you want to follow our podcast page on Facebook, it's facebook.com/dualscreens.com. That's DOTCOM. If you want to watch the show live, we do it every Sunday night on twitch.tv/dualscreenstreams. Our YouTube channel is youtube.com/dualscreenstv. And if you want to follow my streaming antics, I am trying to get to 15 subscribers. If I could do that, I get a second emote, which Mikey Kirsch has been working very hard on designing all my emotes. And that's at twitch.tv/batchild. That's twitch.tv/batchild. I will be doing many giveaway streams on there if you're interested. Andy, is there any like project or anything you're working on that you want people to look forward to?
I'm doing a lot of writing lately, like one page a day. So maybe I'll release a book at some point.
Actually, this would actually be a great time to highlight some things that our editor in chief over at
Speaking about writing, look at you. You're so smart.
Indeed. So Thornstone, our fearless writer in chief has started a new series that we've kind of been brainstorming together. It's called Dual Screens Selects. And while we're counting down this generation, we wanted to highlight the greatest games of this generation before we get into the next generation. And so we're each going to be writing articles. That's Andy is going to be writing. I'm going to be writing. Thorn is going to be writing. But also he's reaching out to our supporters also to have them that if they want to write something that they want to nominate or that they think is one of the better games this generation. And the first one that he chose for Dual Screen Selects is Crash Team Racing Nitro Fueled, which is a great under the radar. Like, yes, it's great. I mean, it's a remake, remaster, whatever you want to call it. But what he says about it is, you know, fantastic. So if you want to know, you know, keep your eyes on dualscreens.com because we're going to do a lot of these. And I think what I'd like to do, for the, like towards the end of the year or maybe for the fall, like as we're gearing up for the release, I want to do these as a video as well. I think that would be really cool. Read the scripts. So yeah, we're going to be doing a bunch of those. What else we got on the homepage here? I think he was working on some other things. He also wrote a really great article, and this was another thing that we were brainstorming that I really wanted him to highlight, is the resurgence of the AA game. I feel like we lost that in the PS3 era. Mm-hmm. It pretty much went away. Anything that was a risk was mitigated. They put it away and they just focus on these big blockbuster titles or the indie games. It was big blockbuster and indie. And while the beginning of this generation also had that, as it went on, we got to see a lot more AA games. So if you want to check that out, that article is also on dualscreens.com. Give him some clicks. Give him some love in the comments. Truly is really good stuff that he's writing over there. He's doing a really, really good job. In the chat, Mr. Nuff redeemed a shout out on our channel points and said he wants to shout out Buzz for trying unsuccessfully to kill the chat.
all right.
Buzz also says we haven't had AA or even much of second party. And to that, I will click into Thorne's article. And so he
and
notes,
prove him wrong.
Right. He notes Maneater as the most recent example of that. That Maneater is very much a AA game. Samurai Showdown. What else? Team Sonic Racing was another one that he's talking about. But there are a lot. I would even say
Hellblade is a huge example of a really high quality AA game.
Dead by Daylight,
Shadow of the Colossus remake, Dead by Daylight,
Predator, Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah. A lot.
What's it called? The Switch one. By Team Ninja? Ninja? Wait, no. My brain is breaking. I've been talking for an hour and a half, so my brain is officially on fire.
Much like the world.
Much like the world, indeed. So yeah, go check that out. Chat doesn't have anything else to say. We didn't get any other comments, so we're going to kick it over to the very end of the show. Andy.
Steven.
People should buy our stuff at dualscreens.com/store.
They really should.
I actually got my mug, finally.
I saw that mug in action on Instagram.
I still have not gotten my shirt. Because COVID really delayed the shit out of that, but you could still buy things and support us. That would be great. And speaking of support, go to patreon.com/NDS podcast, and we would appreciate that if you did that. Anything you want to tell the kids before we go?
You know, just I would say it's at every show we do, and it's never been more true than it is today, and that is really to be excellent to each other. For the love of God, people, just life is a crapshoot, you know? People get dealt bad hands all the time. And let's not make it harder for each other. We really are in this. I mean, it sounds lame, but we're in this shit together. Let's not make it harder for each other. Don't be a dickhole.
Yeah. couldn't have said it better myself. You know, we Andy and I give each other a lot of shit. We talk shit about
out of
a
love.
Lot of things. But yeah, it all comes from passion. It comes from love. Yeah. You know, when I say be excellent to each other, I really do mean it. It's why mm-hmm. I make it my sign off. It's something I believe in. It's something that I wasn't always good at. And it took growing up and
it's hard
being open to other opinions and other lifestyles that I didn't know about, other worlds that are out there. And, you know, you have to be good to each other. You have to. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter about the color of the skin, the origin of where they come from. It doesn't matter the type of clothing they wear, who they love in the publicly or in the privacy of their home. It shouldn't matter what uniform they wear, unless it's a fucking Nazi uniform, then you can punch all you want. Yes. It doesn't matter what, you know, color their political party is. You know, unless somebody's actively trying to harm you, mm-hmm. And even then I say, just protect yourself. Don't tear somebody down. Just be kind, be understanding. And if you can't, if you physically cannot get your head around a topic and you'll never see the other side of it, avoid that topic.
Right.
That's the best thing you can do. It's like in college, you get a book this fucking thick, Andy, of all the classes you can take. And if I'm flipping through that and I go, oh yeah, cultural relativism in the 1670s. That's something.
Sign me up.
I'm down for that. Like, no, like, you're not going to do that. You're not going to do something, even if it's something, if you know nothing about something, if you have no dog in that fight, or if your opinion hurts a person, if your thoughts on a topic make somebody else's life awful, harder, difficult, or whatever, then shut your mouth. Just be nice to somebody.
Listen, yeah, you know, you can have those opinions inside a voice, though.
Right.
Or just vow to learn more about some things, you know.
Right.
You can take a second to learn. I get it. Life is complicated and it's very packed with things. You have to take care of yourself, your family. I get that. But, you know, don't espouse hate and just be kind to people.
You know,
that's it.
Do research on what you're, you know, what you're going to be voting for in November. Like, it's not just about party line. It's not just about getting this one out or putting this one in or whatever. I am positive that if we did research, this would be a 7-party system instead of a 2-party system. If we actually gave a shit about what people say, that they're going to do, what they, you know, the things that they promise or the platforms they run on, if we actually cared about that kind of thing, there would be actual real tangible change. But this isn't a place for that. It, you know, we want to be a place where you guys can have fun. And I know for a fact in our community, there are plenty of people with very different opinions about a vast majority of things, but.
And that's okay.
That is okay. Yeah. But the one thing that is not okay is being disrespectful and hateful.
Yes.
Do not be disrespectful. Do not be hateful. Especially because of a person's skin color or where they come from or what they do, you know, or who they love. Just don't. That's this world doesn't need that. We love you. Thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. We love you all. Without you guys listening and watching, we have nothing. So, and we know our viewers are small. There's not a lot of you out there that are watching this live, but we know who you are and we love you very much for doing it. And go out there and support each other. Pick each other up. Don't put each other down. We love you. I love you, Andy. I love you, chat. And as always, please be excellent.